Glory to God.
Hallelujah. 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 13, excuse me.
Hallelujah.
First Samuel chapter 13, verse 14.
Glory to God.
You'll stand for the reading of God's word. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. If you turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You say amen to God's word, you may be seated.
Amen. That's right.
I had originally intended at the beginning of my study for this message to go a different route. And while I was studying it, it was one of the messages where I had to fight for every word to put on this piece of paper. And I just finally one night kneeled in prayer. I said, Lord, it just don't feel right. It ain't going right. I said, what do you want me to do? And after I got done praying, this verse had popped in my mind about 1 Samuel. And I got to thinking about it. I said, Lord, this is my prayer right here, that I might be a man after your own heart, that I might have your desires and your understanding and your will. And I heard a man say once, we preach best what we need to hear most. And that's going to be my message tonight, a man after God's own heart.
Hallelujah.
We must understand when we think about this that we will never be able to fully comprehend God's heart. We who are finite cannot possibly fully grasp the infinite.
That's right.
God feels infinitely, God desires infinitely, and God understands infinitely.
Yes.
He sees every sin, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, he sees every one of them that goes on. He sees every murder, he sees every theft, and every lie. Not only that, he sees the intent of the heart. He sees the hatred, the lust, the desire to commit the sin, even when it is not done in the physical. That is something we will never be able to grasp, and I know I'm not. If we were that way, we saw every sin that was committed against us. Every time someone said something evil against us, every time someone did something wrong to harm us, even if we did not know it to begin with, but we just saw them doing it, our minds would be filled with such hatred, our minds would be filled with such malice towards that person. But God sees it every day. If you think about the billions of people that are upon this earth, and let's just be liberal with and say half of them are sinners, and it's probably a good bit more, say half of them are sinners, living each day in their sin. You think about that, the sins that are committed each day, yet God lets them survive upon this earth. He does not wipe us all out like we all deserve. It is by His grace, and it's something I will never be able to understand fully, because God, He feels infinitely, He desires infinitely, but yet He loves infinitely as well. But we can feel and desire to some extent His heart. That is why it says a man after mine heart, not a man with mine heart.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same way that Paul states it in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. There's no way that I can understand what it was like for Christ, who thought it not to be equal to God, thought it not to be robbery, but made himself of no reputation at the same time. There's no way I can understand fully that principle. But I can understand the principle of making my brother be higher esteemed than I am. I can understand to some extent what a marvelous thing it was for Christ to do it. If we are going to have the heart of God, there are a few things we must understand about that word heart. It is not just the feelings. It is not just the love that comes out of the heart. This word heart means His desires. It means His will. It means His understanding. It means His mind. If we are going to have, we must have His desires to have His heart. Psalms 27:4, the same man that God said He's a man after mine own heart, the same ones that penned these words, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." If we are to have His heart, we must desire the same things that the Lord desires. We must have His desires set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth, as Paul said in Colossians. We must have our desires set upon what He desires. His will must become our will. Our will must become obsolete in our service towards Him. For us to have His heart, there can be no other. We will serve one Master and one Master only. If we do not serve God and have His heart, then our own heart will be left unto us, and we will become selfish and prideful in our sins. We must also have His mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have to be heavenly minded. We must think like He thinks, and we will understand His judgment. Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous, but thy judgments are far above out of his sight. If we will think upon what the Lord has done, upon his judgments, upon his will and upon his love, we will see the beauty of it. We will see the marvelous inside above it. We will see the beautiful instruction that comes out of it. If we will think of that, if we will desire his desires, if we will desire for the world to come unto him, then we will see the way he acts is marvelous, and that it is beautiful, and that it is such wisdom beyond our own.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We must have his mind. Psalms 119:39 says, "Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good." Psalms 119:75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faith and faithfulness has afflicted me." The same man that had the heart of God has wrote these words, and it is quite obvious if we read Psalms 119 especially, thy judgments are mentioned numerous times in that one chapter, in that one Psalms. It is over and over and over again. David understood something. Thy judgments are perfect. Thy judgments are beautiful, and they are what I need for my own life. Because he had his heart, because he understood the same things that God understood in some respect, that this is the perfect way to live, and this is how I want to live. We will have a heart like God's. If we will, we will not be able to sit idly by while sin runs rampant. In Acts 17:16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." You will have a great understanding of what wickedness really is and what sin really does. We will understand the crime that is committed on each sin that is committed, and that action must be taken. If we understand like God understands the price that he has paid on Calvary, and yet the people still resist him and sin, we will understand what a crime, what an act of violence and act of reproach against God that will be. If we will get his heart, if we will get his understanding, and we will get his knowledge, then when we finally understand what it is to be God in the shoes, his shoes, when they sin against him, when they sin against him and cut his name down, then we will understand, and it will break our hearts. It will move us to do something about it. We will not be able to sit idly by when we see what God has done for them and then what they do against him. When we have a heart like God's, we will rejoice to see one saved.
Amen.
Not just to add to the church, because that is not what God is looking for. He is looking for people to be saved out of their sins. But more than that, he's looking for the sheep that has been lost to be found and returned to the fold. He's looking for the brother that has returned to their family, a son that has come home.
Yes.
If we will get the heart like God, we will not just be mechanical in our ways to save the lost, because we will understand that they need to be saved, because not because they're just going to hell. Yes, that's the reason. They need to be saved from it. But there's a crime that has been committed, and they need to pay up for it. God's heart is broken each time they sin against him, and each time a new sinner comes into this world, he comes in innocent, but then he commits that first sin. It breaks God's heart each time. And if we will get that understanding, if we will get that heart in our mind, we will be moved to save the lost. And we cannot sit idly by if we will get that understanding in us. We will rejoice because we understand to some extent the pain and the betrayal that will be healed when they make it right with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, we could not understand fully the pain and the hurt where they were being right in the heart of God. But when His heart is ours, we can know a little bit about it.
Mm.
When we have God's heart, our heart for loss will grow as we realize the restitution that needs to be made.
Yes.
We realize the price that was paid for them and the need for them to accept that gift.
Hallelujah.
If we will get that heart, we will move and this church will grow because our prayers will become fervent. Our actions will become fervent. We will not let one time slip by that we can mention the name of Jesus to this world because we will understand there is restitution that needs to be made. There is a price that was paid and they are slandering it each time and each day they live in their sins. We will do something about it if we will get a heart like God's.
Amen.
When we have a heart like God's, we will worship Him. Something I'm learning more and more about worship each day is that it's not just emotional. It's not just emotions. There is some work involved in worship. Sure, it's nice when the emotions are there and they back up the actions, but they're not always going to be. But when you have a heart like God's, you will be willing to fight the battle to worship His name. I know Wednesday nights, it can be especially tough. You've worked all day and like Brother Wood said, in the heat. And sometimes it's a battle just to raise your arms and just to give all you got in the services. But if we will get a heart like God, we will see the magnificence of Him. We receive His majesty, His desire to be worshipped, and His worthiness to be worshipped. If we will get His heart, our worship will become not just mechanical either. It will become some fervency in it. I know God needs to be worshipped not just by my knowledge, but what is witnessed in my own heart, that this is a God that is worthy of my praise and of my devotion each day and every time. Even though I don't feel like it, I will come with a heart ready to worship because my God is worthy of it. And I see that because I have His heart in me. I understand what He understands. This is a God that is worthy to be worshipped. When we have a heart like God, our will we become obsolete. Psalms 40:8 says, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. There is but room for one master in our hearts, and that is Jesus Christ. And if we fill our mind with His thoughts, we fill our hearts with His desires, we fill our will with His will will become obsolete. We won't have to worry about doing something that's outside of His will if we will get His mind in us and His will a part of our will and His heart in our heart. When we seek for a heart like God's will, we understand the necessity of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We will not be able to fully grasp to our own power and our own extent what God's heart is unless we get the Holy Spirit abiding in our souls. No man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man. It is the same with God. If you want God's will and you want His knowledge in your mind, then you must be full of the Holy Ghost. It is a mandatory for us to be fully a Christian. It is a mandatory for us to be fully God's Spirit-filled believer. For His worker, we must have the Holy Ghost. Or we will not be effective. We cannot be our full worker until Christ has filled us with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
We will think on spiritual things, not on things on this earth.
Right.
We will have a mind that is fully devoted unto Christ. Our minds go any direction that we lead them. If we let our minds go rampant, they will go on things that we should not think. We need to hold our minds' attention to the things of Christ. It is not going to be easy. It is not going to be mechanical. There's going to be some work involved into it. Each day you spend, each time you have a spare moment, do not fill it with the things of this world. Fill it with God. Fill it with His Bible. Fill it with His Word. We will not understand Christ in His heart until we get this Word will reveal it to us. This Word will show us some more and more about it, but we have to think about it. We cannot sit idly by. It is not just going to pop in our heads. We must pray and we must seek and we must read God's Word. We must not just read it. We must think about it. We must ponder on it. We must think about it each day that we can. Every moment that we spend thinking about God's Word, it will not be a moment spent idly. It'll be a moment well worth, well being, well used for God's glory. We must think on God and think on His Word and think on each day. What is this verse meaning? Find you a verse. Think on it. Do a little bit of work. I know it's hard and our minds can be filled with so much each day. I understand. But we must, if we are going to be effective in this world, if we are going to have His heart, then we must think about His Word and about His will for us each day.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
We must have His desires, as I stated before. We must set our affection on things of earth. Set, that's a verb. That takes some action involved in our own hearts. That is something else that's not just going to pop in our hearts. We are not just going to automatically think on things above. We are not just going to automatically want things of heavenly virtue and of spiritual things. We must set our affection on things above. Cast out the things of this earth. Cast out what this earthly things, earthly gain. I know we have to work. I know we have to provide for our families. I understand that each more and more each day. But there is a higher calling to us as Christians. There is a heavenly call, more above this earthly call. God will provide for us if we put Him first, if we put His mind above our mind, if we put His heart above our heart, if we put His will above our will. He will guide us in each way. He will take care of us. But we must set our affection on things above.
Hallelujah.
We must get a mind that sees sin for what it is. We cannot just let sin go rampant. We must be active in this walk with God. It's something I'm understanding more and more each day, that there is so much more involved to this work than just coming to church. There is so much more even than just spending each day in our devotions. There is so much more involved in this walk. There is a calling that we have received and each of us has received. If we are saved and sanctified in this room tonight, we have received a calling. Preach my word to the ends of the earth. Preach it. And if we are not, do not God have God's heart, we will preach it out of our own way and our own power and our own will, and it will not bring the glory and the fruit that Christ deserves. It is attainable. To have God's heart is obtainable.
Yes, it is.
It is very easy to get. Like I stated, if we will put God first, if we will think on things above, if we will set our affection on things above, we can have God's heart. We can have His feeling towards sin. We can have His knowledge towards the sinner. We can have His understanding of His judgments. If we will set our affections on things above, have a mind that is of Christ, and think on Him, we can have God's heart. It is necessary for this walk with Christ. It is necessary. We must have His heart. We cannot walk in this world. We cannot seek the lost. We cannot seek God. We will not understand fully what we need from Him unless we have His heart. Once we have His heart, and it is an ever-growing thing, but once we get on a path to grow more in Christ and have His heart more and more each day, we will be an effective church. We will see the lost saved. We will see Spirit-filled believers. We will see the name of God Christ proclaimed. We will be able to build a church worthy of His name if we will have His heart, if we will have His desires, if we will have His mind, and if we will have His understanding. We can grow in Christ. It is obtainable, but it'll take some work. It'll take some perseverance. It'll take some spiritual sweat, but it's obtainable. It is a cause worthy to suffer for. If we can have Christ's heart, we will be His servants. Through and through each day, we will be effective for His call and for His name. We will be effective and we will bring glory and honor unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It was in my prayer this evening as we were praying. Somewhere God's got to help us. If you want it, ask for it. God, give me your heart. You know, there are times I know I don't have it. And Lord, I just don't have the compassion I need. I don't have the right feelings towards something that I need. And I ask that. I've prayed that so many times. Lord, give me your heart toward that person. Give me your heart toward that sinner. Let me feel towards them like you feel. Because if I feel like God feels, it'll be a right feeling. If I think like God thinks, it'll be a right thought. Amen. If I do what God does, it'll be a right action. Amen. Brother Andrew, I appreciate that exhortation from the Scripture tonight. Let us be people who are seeking the heart of God. So many folks in this world are seeking someone else's heart. They want someone else's things, but we need the things of God. Amen. I appreciate this tonight. I appreciate the Word of the Lord that comes. And I want you to remember this young man in prayer. He does study. And him and I have been talking and recommending books to him. And he's just working to fill his mind. And I told him, I said, I wish when I'd have been your age, I'd have had somebody that would have put books in my path and would have. It took me a long time to get there, to find the right resources, I should say. And when I was a young man, I spent a lot of time reading, but I didn't read things that really benefited me spiritually. And I know that God is good, and I appreciate a young man that has a heart to study God's Word. Because if we'll build and grow in God's knowledge, when he's 47, he can be a lot further along than I am at 47, because he's got a lot earlier start. And I want God to do that. I want God to reach and touch him. And I appreciate the things that he's sharing with us tonight. You think on that, church. Let us be men and women after God's heart. What do you want, God? What do you want from me? What do you want to do? What's your will in this matter? How can your name be glorified? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Let's give him praise. I really do. I want you to remember Sunday service. And God will be with us and just give us a mighty touch of his presence. I want you to remember our prayer time next week. Looking forward to that and what God's going to do. Continue to remember the requests that have been given in here this evening. I believe God's going to do wonderful and mighty things, and I'm trusting him for it. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask the men of the church, after we pray, if they could just meet back in the fellowship hall for a few moments with us, please. If the men of the church could just meet us back there for a few moments. Father, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity that we have to be here, God. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And we thank you for the exhortation from the Scripture tonight. God, that has spoken to our heart, Lord, that has shared with us. If we know, God, and understand your heart, then we'll know why you judge the way you judge, God. And we will see your judgments as just and not false. There'll be no blame to you, Lord, if we know your heart. No, God, there'll be no criticisms. There'll be, Lord, no vain remarks or taking your name in vain whenever men have your heart, God. And I pray, let that be in this church. Show your heart to this church. Show your heart to this church and strengthen us, God, and lead us and help us. And the prayers that we have prayed tonight, God, the things that we have asked of you this evening, we're asking you, God, to build us. We're asking you to strengthen us. We're asking you, God, to lift us up, oh Lord, and so that we can be faithful unto you in this hour. God, Sunday morning, we're looking for a mighty move of your presence. We're looking, God, for you to do wonderful things even this week. Even this week, God, grip our hearts. Grip our hearts, Lord, that men and women will come ready, Lord, to honor and to praise and to glorify the name of the Lord. Strengthen our men, God, that are weary and tired and have worked in this heat. God, I want you to strengthen them, Lord. God, those that have been out there and, Lord, have paid the price of the day. I want you to strengthen them and keep them. I want you, Lord, to anoint them and help them. I want you, Lord, to touch this body and strengthen us in the work of Jesus Christ, I pray. Glory to the Lamb of God in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen.